ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're starting chapter 13 of the 10th canto. The chapter is titled, The Stealing of the Boys and Calves by Brahma. Maybe we'll read the summary first and then we'll chant the verse. This chapter describes Lord Brahma's attempt to take away the calves and cowherd boys, and it also describes the bewilderment of Lord Brahma and finally the clearance of his illusion. Although the incident concerning Agasura had been performed 1 year before, when the cowherd boys were 5 years old, when they were 6 years old, they said, "It happened today." What happened was this. After killing Agasura, Krishna, along with his associates, the cowherd boys, went for a picnic within the forest. The calves, being allured by green grasses, gradually went far away, and therefore Krishna's associates became a little agitated and wanted to bring back the calves. Krishna, however, encouraged the boys by saying, "You take your tiffin without being agitated. I shall go find the calves." And thus the Lord departed. Then, just to examine the potency of Krishna, Lord Brahma took away all the calves and cowherd boys and kept them in a secluded place. When Krishna was unable to find the calves and boys, he could understand that this was a trick performed by Brahma. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, in order to please Lord Brahma, as well as his own associates and their mothers, expanded himself to become the calves and boys, exactly as they were before. In this way, he discovered another pastime. A special feature of this pastime was that the mothers of the cowherd boys thus became more attached to their respective sons, and the cows became more attached to their calves. After nearly a year, Baladeva observed that all the cowherd boys and calves were expansions of Krishna. Thus he inquired from Krishna and was informed of what had happened. When one full year had passed, Brahma returned and saw that Krishna was still engaged as usual with his friends and the calves and cows. Then Krishna exhibited all the calves and cowherd boys as four-armed forms of Narayan. Brahma could then understand Krishna's potency, and he was astonished by the pastimes of Krishna, his worshipable Lord. Krishna, however, bestowed his causeless mercy upon Brahma and released him from illusion. Thus Brahma began to offer prayers to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we'll read text 1, which is on the board. Sri Shuka Uvacha Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Sadhu Prishtam Mahabhaga Twaya Bhagavatotama Twaya Bhagavatotama Yanutanaya Shishyasya Yanutanaya Shishyasya Shrinvan api katam muhu Shrinvan api katam muhu Isuka uvacha Shukadeva Goswami said, Sadhu Prishtam, I have been very much honored by your inquiry. Mahabhaga, you are a greatly fortunate personality. Twaya, by you. Bhagavat Uttama, O best of devotees. Yat, because. Nutanayasi, you are making newer and newer. Ishasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrinvan api, although you are continuously hearing. Katam, the pastimes. Muhu, again and again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. Purport. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nitya nava navaya manam. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Premanjana chaturi bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. The word shanta is used to refer to persons who have developed love for Krishna. Yam shama sundaram achintya gunu swaru Pam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahma Samhita 5:38. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, is addressed as Bhagavat Ottama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very much elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Militam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari
Rishabhanu Svita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sisi Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai Sisi Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai Hare Krishna. Praying for the mercy of all the devotees, especially my worshipable seniors, I hope to say something favorable for the benefit of the devotees. Thank you, Google. So we're starting chapter 13, which I believe is the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented on. And the verse, the first verse of this chapter begins with Shukadeva Goswami glorifying Maharaj Prickett for his questions. Maharaj Prickett is an ideal example of a hearer of Krishna Katha. Maharaj Prickett, he was cursed to die after 7 days. He's been fasting, not even taking water, just hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Now we're in the 10th canto. Already they've heard all of the first 9 cantos, so many of the early pastimes of Krishna. In the last chapter, we heard the story of Agasura, where Krishna was with his cowherd boyfriends, and they met a horrible demon who had his mouth open, and somehow the boys all felt in their state of complete surrender to Krishna and their feeling that Krishna is our protector and the maintainer. Just as like a joke, let's walk into the mouth of the Agasura demon. And Krishna was even feeling bewildered, like, how is this happening? That my friends are all walking into the mouth of this demon. But Krishna saved the situation. He killed that demon. He saved all the cowherd boys. And then that pastime was not told for 1 year. And when the pastime was told, it was told as if it had happened today. We heard that in the summary. And so Maharaj Prickett, he asked a very nice question. And Sukadeva Goswami is appreciating. Maharaj Prickett didn't ask, you know, hey, what time is prasadam? Or Maharaj Prickett wasn't arguing with Sukadeva Goswami. Sometimes we see that too. Some clever, you know, are you sure about this? Maybe you're wrong, Sukadeva Goswami. Sometimes people want a challenge. No, in a very nice way, he asked, please tell more about the pastimes of Krishna. How is it that this amazing story of Agasura was not told for a whole year? And Shukadeva Goswami is enlivened. This is a great example, the ideal example of the speaker and the hearer. They're feeding off one another's energy. The speaker can speak because the hearer is so qualified, so inquisitive, so enthusiastic to hear. And because the speaker is so enthusiastic to hear, or the hearer is so enthusiastic to hear more, so the speaker is so enthusiastic to speak more. Sadhu Prishtam, I have been very much honored by your inquiry. Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker, he's appreciating.
Mahabhag, you are a greatly fortunate personality. Bhagavat Uttama, O best of devotees. Nutanyasi, you are making newer and newer the pastimes of the Lord. And Prabhupada is writing, unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. When can we become advanced like that? When can we achieve that position, becoming advanced, that we're ready, we're enthusiastic, we're eager? When it's Janmashtami and I have to fast for one day, it's like, oh, when is this going to end? Maharaj Prickett, after so many days, he's still fired up to hear from Sukadev Goswami. And so he's getting the blessings of Sukadev Goswami. There's a nice story I want to tell from the life of Srila Prabhupada. We know that Srila Prabhupada, he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur maybe in his early 20s. It was in Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada was a family man already, and his friends were encouraging him, "We have met a nice sadhu and we really want you to meet him." And Prabhupada, whose name at that time was Abai, "Please come." Lilamrita says they were all feeling like Abai, he's like our leader. Among the friends that they had, their circle of friends, Abai was the leader. And so they all thought, "This is a very nice sadhu. We want to hear, what does Abai think of this sadhu? So Abai, please come hear from this sadhu." He heard on the rooftop of some place in Calcutta, Bhagbazar. Thank you. So Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta, and at that time he was a follower of Gandhi. And Bhaktisiddhanta, as soon as he saw Abai, he said with his friends, he said, "You're intelligent boys. You should preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language." And Abai was feeling astonished. You know, we've hardly even met. He's saying such a thing to us. And he wanted to test that sadhu, understand him. So he asked a question. And his question was something about Indian independence, that now India is a subjugated country. We're subjugated by the British. Before we can spread the message of our spiritual knowledge, first we have to be freed from the subjugation of the foreign rulers. And Bhaktisiddhanta countered that by saying, "This transcendental knowledge is beyond all type of mundane consideration of what is the political situation, where are things at. This is the knowledge of the soul. And so from any material condition, this knowledge should be heard, this knowledge should be spread." And Prabhupada appreciated, he accepted. And he felt happy to be defeated by such a person, and was enlivened to have met such a sadhu. So then the next incident that I wanted to come to, it says it was in 1932. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had a large parikram organized of Braj Mandal. He was doing Braj Mandal parikram. The Lilamrita says, actually Vrindavan had never seen such a big parikram before. It was such a huge party. Bhaktisiddhanta was a preacher and he had attracted many people for that parikram, and so it was like a sensation. And Srila Prabhupada, he couldn't join the entire parikram. He was a working person. But about 20 days in, he visited that parikram for one day. And they were at Koshi. And one of the leaders of the parikram, he made an announcement that Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he will speak and give class, and tomorrow he will have to go to Mathura to leave the parikram. So if anyone wants to hear from Guru Maharaj, then they can come to the class.
And also there will be some parikram program going to one of the holy places. And so Srila Prabhupada thought, anyway, let's hear from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What does he have to say? We want to hear from him. What will we learn at that holy place? Better we hear from Krishna's devotee. And so it's described, Srila Prabhupada, he went to that class, and he said his Guru Maharaj was speaking in a very high, difficult language, speaking very subtle, difficult philosophical truths with very high standard of English language. Even native English speakers, when we read the words of Bhaktisiddhanta, it's like you need the dictionary also. It's not easy to catch everything. Oh, I think I forgot some important thing. Oh, here it is. I have a description. Srila Prabhupada... Right, so the point was, most people, they had gone for parikram, but Srila Prabhupada stayed back, and he heard in the class, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking for a long time. And there was just a small, intimate group of followers. Mostly it was like a few sannyasi followers, people that were already close to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And there was Srila Prabhupada, and he was attentively hearing. And even the class was going on, some people had to leave for something else, some other duty. And Srila Prabhupada continued to hear, and continued to hear, and continued to hear. And so then later that... it was after a few years. Then in 1935, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came to Allahabad, where Srila Prabhupada was working as a chemist. And the devotees from the followers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from the Gaudiya Math, they came, they told Prabhupada about the program, and they said, tomorrow there will be an initiation. And so Prabhupada asked, I would also like to be initiated. And so at the time of initiation, the devotees introduced Prabhupada to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. They said, they were introducing the candidates for initiation. And when they introduced Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta said, yes, I have marked him. He likes to hear. He doesn't go away. Srila Prabhupada describes like this. This is a lecture in Los Angeles on December 19, 1973. Prabhupada is describing, speaking about his own history. My Guru Maharaj accepted me as a disciple because he saw in the beginning I was very inquisitive to hear him. I was introduced to my Guru Maharaj that they are to be initiated. They want to be initiated to become your disciple. So when my turn came, he immediately said, yes, I will accept this boy as disciple because he is very inquisitive to hear. That was my recommendation. And actually, I was very inquisitive. I could not follow what Guru Maharaj was speaking, but still, I was asking others that when Guru Maharaj will speak, I will hear. I could not follow. He was speaking in a very high philosophical term. So at that time, I had no capacity to understand. Still, I wanted to hear him. I understand or not understand. So this is very good qualification. So those who are coming here to listen about God, they are very fortunate. Krishna will help them. Shravanam. The beginning of bhakti yoga is started from the practice of shravanam, oral reception, ear. Therefore, the mantra is given through the ear. Then kirtanam. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smarnam padasevanam archanam vandam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. There are 9 different processes. The most important process is hearing. And as soon as you want to hear,
That means you have to concentrate your mind. Now Prabhupada is going to give a great analysis. Hearing, why is it so powerful? Why is it so beneficial? As soon as you want to hear, that means you have to concentrate your mind. So naturally the mind becomes, I mean to say, locked. Shravanam kirtanam. But if we sleep, that is another thing. That let the lectures go on, let me have some rest. That is another thing. But if you hear, if you are anxious to hear, then the mind has to be engaged. Without attention, you cannot hear. If your mind is something doing, you are thinking of marketing something or something. So you can hear, make a show of hearing, but you are not hearing. Therefore, mind is the first thing. If you engage your mind in hearing, then you can describe the things in the Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. So isn't it true? Don't we have that experience when we attentively listen? If there's a good class, if we're reading Shastra, reading for Prabhupada's books, it's such an engaging way to contact Krishna. And so, in that same year, 1935, at that initiation ceremony, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Lilamrita says, gave Prabhupada the instruction he should read the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Srila Rupa Goswami. Like Srila Prabhupada has written Nectar of Devotion. That's a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When Srila Prabhupada was initiated, his Guru Maharaj gave him the order to read and study that book. And so later that same year Srila Prabhupada was initiated, there was a meeting. It was the 62nd birthday of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati at Jagannath Puri, and the devotees observed the day with a ceremony. And in Bombay, where Prabhupada was, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a poem, and there are several verses. Adore ye, adore ye all the happy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May, when he appeared at Puri, the holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. There's this nice poem, and one stanza in particular Srila Prabhupada wrote in that poem, which we'll read. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. This gives us a life, a new and fresh. Worship thy feet, your divine grace. So, Srila Prabhupada wrote this poem. He also gave an incredible offering. It's published in the Science of Self-Realization. Srila Prabhupada is talking about the principle of Guru. This is not a sectarian affair, our worship of our Guru Maharaj. Guru is one. And essentially, Srila Prabhupada established what a highly qualified preacher he was in the English language. It's not a given that all of his godbrothers could communicate so powerfully in English. You know, first of all, it was such a powerful grasp of the message of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And then second of all, in that foreign language of English. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta received these offerings, especially that verse from the poem, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta saw that poem, he appreciated it so much. And Srila Prabhupada said when the guests would come, he would show that poem. And they had a magazine, The Harmonist, for preaching, similar to like we have Back to Godhead magazine. The Gaudiya Math, they had The Harmonist. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta instructed the editor, whatever this person writes, whatever Srila Prabhupada writes, it should be published. So like that, I wanted to say Srila Prabhupada was marked as such an attentive hearer of Krishna Katha, and he was marked by his Guru Maharaj. How nicely this person is hearing. Sukadeva Goswami is also marking Maharaj Parikit. How nicely you're hearing, asking relevant inquiries. And so, we also want to get marked like that. And we have every opportunity to be marked like that. There's so much opportunity to hear. We have, Srila Prabhupada has presented so many books, so many lectures, so many recordings. We can also be marked if we will be careful with our time. If we will spend our time in hearing Krishna Katha, then the great souls can mark us also. How nice is this devotee, very eager and enthusiastic to hear the message. Just a few more points I thought to make. Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, Arjuna was a materialist. He was thinking like a materialistic person. But just by hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, he became a fully surrendered, realized soul. And in the seventh chapter, Krishna is saying, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, again, glorifying this process of hearing Krishna Katha. The Lord says to Arjuna, Tat Trinu, or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna. And therefore, by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna-conscious person. One has to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. That's another point. Who to hear from? I have something more to say about that. We should be very careful. Who are we hearing from? If we want pure devotion, then the only option is to hear from pure devotees. Prabhupada writes, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. And he cites a number of verses starting with Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, and translates like this: to hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Isn't that what we're here for? To understand the science of God perfectly? Thus, bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of ashamshayam samagram, understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. So like that, Sutta Goswami describes in that second chapter of the first canto, by hearing. Prabhupada said, unless one is very advanced, it's hard to stick to hearing. But by practice, hearing. Pancha Guru Prabhu every day, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Then one can become gradually purified. Purified from the contamination of lust and avarice, the lower modes of material nature. The hard knot of bondage to the material world can finally be cut. One more point I thought to bring out. In the bhajans of Bhaktivinod Thakur, he has a book, Sharanagati, where he's describing the six principles of surrender. We know those principles: to have humility, to fully surrender oneself, to accept that the Lord is one's maintainer, to accept that the Lord is one's protector, to accept things that are favorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, and reject things that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. So, in the section where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying or singing about renunciation of conduct unfavorable for pure devotion, he says, he makes very nice points that I thought to bring out. I'll just read the translation. He says, O Keshava, this material creation of yours is most strange. I have roamed throughout the forest of this universe in consequence of my selfish acts, and I have beheld many curious sights. Forgetfulness of your lotus feet, which is bitter suffering unto death, burns me with its scorching pain. In this helpless condition, my would-be saviors, the sage philosophers Kapila, Gotama, Kanada, Jaimini, and Buddha, have come running to my aid. Each expounds his particular view, dangling various pleasures and liberation as bait in their philosophical traps. But all of them are just bogus cheaters, being averse to your devotional service, and are therefore a source of fatal danger. Every one of them are cunning experts of karma, jnana, yoga, and tapa, who provide various kinds of tempting bait for cheating the souls who are averse to you. Having paid his respects to these cheating philosophers from afar, Bhaktivinoda takes refuge at the feet of your devotees as the essence of his life. So there's so many subject matters available to hear. There's so many people that want to take your attention and speak something to you on whatever kind of subject. And like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we should think, these people are, we're already trapped in this horrible material existence. These people are here just to confuse us with speaking something with the bait of some kind of material enjoyment and liberation. But actually, if we want to surrender, then we should neglect such people. We should refuse to hear from them. We should be fixed to only hear from the pure devotees, and we should be fixed to neglect all kinds of cheaters who aren't speaking the principles of pure devotional service. Anyway, those are the points I wanted to make. Maybe we'll leave it there. If there are any questions or comments, yes, Prabhu.
The importance of hearing from pure devotees. Prabhupada was very protective of the devotees to go out and hear from other pure devotees. You know, there's so many literatures available with so many pure devotees, and they read all of this Goswami's literature and this literature. But I mean, Srila Prabhupada said everything's in my books. And would it be overly simplistic to say that best to just read, Prabhupada's books, and in a sense that there's so much depth there that you can, by the time you read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, read the Nectar Devotion, Nectar Instruction, so many books, one might feel like, oh, there's something, maybe I'll get something more from other literatures if I could read something a little more esoteric. So I'm just asking about that. How should we, how should we fix the problem? Are we only fanatic to say just stupid?
Yeah, I could try to give a fanatic answer. you said there may be so many pure devotees outside. So my question is, are they pure devotees? And my answer is, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Maybe. I don't know. But one thing I'm sure about, Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. And so if I'll stick with hearing from him, then I can't go wrong. And we should consider, what did Prabhupada say? Because the process of Krishna consciousness isn't just being a smarty pants trying to collect knowledge from here and there. Like in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami was so pleased and satisfied with Maharaj Prickett. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was so pleased and satisfied with Srila Prabhupada. We want to hear in such a way to please and satisfy the great devotees from whom we're hearing from. And so, we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada, let's try to please him. And by staying faithful to him. And, in terms of other things outside of Prabhupada's teachings, I don't think you can say outside of Prabhupada's teachings. Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita, he gives a Guru Parampara. And so he's certified. Here are the pure devotees. And here are the people in our line of succession, in our line of thought of Krishna consciousness. And so, hearing from these authorities, that may also be appropriate. But 100% we should mainly stick with Prabhupada, and we should have good guidance before thinking about anything else. Sorry, yes Maharaj, please.
Thank you. See, nowadays, there are many in ISKCON, our present gurus and writers also, they write so many, many, many books. And it could be based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings as well. And some of them may be very, very important. But we should, as much as possible, read more Prabhupada's books, as our dear president says, everything's in Prabhupada's books. Because sometimes they promote more of the other books that was written after Srila Prabhupada's. They are more prominent. So there's a danger here. Yes or no?
Yes, Maharaj, 100%. I agree with you. Let's stay on the safe side and stick to Srila Prabhupada.
Cool. Harish, thank you for the class. So that we can follow Prabhupada's directions, and that we can hear from pure Vaishnavas,
How do we know who is a pure Vaishnava? How did Maharaj Prickett know that Sukadeva Goswami was a pure Vaishnava? How did Srila Prabhupada know Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was a pure Vaishnava? By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna.
Yes, I agree with that. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am sitting in everyone's heart when it comes to knowledge of the person who happens. So that knowledge of Maharaj Prithi by divine providence, and in love with the from within, Krishna will give the direction. That's my understanding. So it's a personal decision for everybody who will accept this pure Vaishnava.
Certainly from Srila Prabhupada's case, there's so many symptoms that are just undeniable by anybody. Who has spread Krishna consciousness like Srila Prabhupada? Who can do that? Only an empowered, highly empowered person. That I think any common person can understand. Marsh?
Prabhupada warned us not to hear from others outside of this home. Because if they say something different from what Prabhupada says, we may be confused.
Definitely we see that.
There are different levels of pure devotees. It's like in Dwarka, it's pure. Mathura, more pure. Vrindavan, most pure. We don't say, oh, Prabhupada says also, oh, how many pure devotees are there? Like you. He says, not many. But why don't you become one? And then he says one time also, how many pure devotees are there in ISKCON? And then he asks, how many devotees we have? He says, there are as many devotees we have, there are as many pure devotees we have. All right, Krishna.
Thank you, Marsh. I don't mind, sure.
In Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna asks Krishna, what happens to the unsuccessful yogi? In a point there, Prabhupada says that I was born in a pure Vaishnava family. My Guru Maharaj is a pure Vaishnava. And he said that in India, he didn't say in Gurus, in that report, he said, in India, there's always pure Vaishnavas.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for explaining from us very well. My question is like a lot of time it comes, another question, my last question, I should be able to stop in your mind. But the question is like Parikshit Maharaj was like a descendant of Krishna's family, like he was asking us, like, so you must be hearing about Krishna's pastimes and this.
Right.
So he is asking the same question about Krishna's pastime. So he already knew this pastime, or he is asking just to relish more?
Did he know the pastime already and he's just asking to relish more?
It's like, it's obvious because he knows that Arjuna's grants and he must be hearing about that. Right.
Nice question. I don't know. Maybe we're running out of time. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Kijak.